Welcome to worship. We're here to worship the living God. We are the body of Christ. We are in service to Him, and we are His hands and feet in the world. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you for putting your Holy Spirit into us so we can gather together for worship and declare that indeed we do believe, because belief in you is such a gift. Thank you for opening our eyes to see who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would come now in this moment of prayer that we spend in dialogue with you. May we hear your voice as well as speak to you in this time. Lord God, you are gracious, and that is good, but we're slow learners sometimes. You show us the way, but we are still convinced we can find some kind of shortcut, some way to repair the damage done to the world and the fractures in the human family that won't take too much time or effort. We keep looking for a way that is safe and certain and obvious and easy. But every apparent shortcut turns into a dead end. Lord, save us from our own foolishness. Confound and confront us until we come to our senses. Touch us with the humility we need if we want to be wise. Give us the patience we need if we hope to accomplish any lasting good. Give us the resolve to seek you first. Help us to commit to learning your story for our lives. Grant us the spirit of obedience that we need if we want to be your disciples. Lord, console those whose eyes are flooded with tears this day and whose hearts are drowned by sorrow. Give rest to those made weary by heavy burdens. Strengthen the resolve of those sorely tempted. Calm the minds of those swarmed by anxiety. We pray with faith and hope because you've already done so much for us. Lord, we think of those affected by the earthquake last night around 3 a.m. Those up in the Napa area where buildings were knocked down and people taken to the hospital. We pray for your peace to be upon those folks. We pray for healing and restoration of their communities and of their hearts. Lord, we also think of the protests across the nation. We pray for racial harmony and an end to the prejudice in our nation because of the color of skin. Forgive us, O Lord, for our superficiality and our lack of depth. Lord, there's no doubt that your love for all people reaches to the ends of the earth. As the psalmist says, there's nowhere to go where you are not already there, waiting for us, ready to meet us and to lead us home again. We thank you for the teachers and mentors who have cared enough to speak the truth in love to us. We thank you for insight that comes after struggle, for hard-won maturity and undeserved second and third and fourth chances in our lives. We thank you for role models who are willing to be honest and who show us that you don't just call extraordinary people to follow you. You call ordinary people and make them extraordinary. Now continue the work you are doing, O Lord, on this kickoff Sunday, on this day when we commit to learning your word. Make us extraordinary servants and extraordinary seekers of your story and your presence and your will in our lives. May we be true witnesses for you in this world, and may we remain faithful. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, if you haven't gotten it yet, we're doing the story. And that's the theme for today, and it will be the theme all year long. Now, let me ask you something. What if you were part of a great story? And let's just say it was a bestseller, all right? Somebody had written a bestseller, and you were a part of that story that someone had written, but you didn't know you were in there. You didn't know you were part of the story. And wouldn't it be awesome to pick up that story one day and find yourself as an integral part of the plot? And it's the plot's so intriguing, and you've heard through the grapevine that it has a wonderful ending, and you can't put it down. And you're thinking, what's going to happen next? I didn't realize it. I'm in this book. So cool. I could bet you'd get pretty excited. At least I would. You guys don't look too excited. Are you excited? Are you awake out there? I mean, I'm trying to get you involved here. I'd be pretty excited to find myself in a bestseller as an integral part of the plot. Now, those of you that know me know that I love to write books. It's just something that I do on the side. I've written other books, but the ones that I enjoyed writing the most were the first three I ever wrote. And they were called the Juno Trilogy. And it's about a swan who's the Christ figure. It worked. He flies. He's white. And the swan's name is Laurel, which means praise. Anyway, that's the Christ figure. And I wrote it in the 90s. It was a trilogy, as I said. And I wrote it when my kids were really young. I think, Chris, you were 4. Julie was 2. And Jonathan wasn't even born yet. I think he might have been on the way. Because I remember writing and feeling a little nauseated, you know. I wrote, and my kids didn't know what I was doing locked away in my study writing. And but at the end of the story, and I forget which book it was, I put in the names Chris and Julie, who is my daughter. Chris is my son. Julie is my daughter. It was on the last page, and I wrote them into the story. And then the books were published, and then I forgot about it. Okay? So when they're in middle school, because they were too little to understand, they couldn't even read, right? Middle school, I suddenly wrote, oh, guess what? I can tell them that I wrote them into this story. And I said, did you guys know that I wrote these books, and you're in them? And they said, no, we're not. You're lying. I said, no, I really did this as a story about a swan. And you can find your names in this book. And I've had to apologize to Jonathan. And he's not in there, and he's here today, that I will write another book and put him in it before I die. Because he didn't get in there. I show them that they were in there and in the books, and they go, oh my gosh, our names are really in here. Chris and Julie, and guess what they wanted to know? What the story was about, right? Read it to us. What is this about? We want to know more. Okay? And that would be a normal reaction, right? You don't want your name in a story that you don't know anything about. Well, the point of this elaborate illustration is for you to understand that this is God's story. This is a Bible. And this is your story. This is your story. God wrote this, inspired other people to write it for you. You are in this story. Now, your name might not be in that book, but the plan that God has for you, the plot, so to speak, the process, that's revealed in this book. So it is your story. Psalm 139, 16 says, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Think about that. Wow. God has a plan for our lives that is bigger than our agenda. He has a purpose that is greater than our plans. And the more we know the Bible and immerse ourselves in Scripture, the more that plan will evident to us. So as we begin this year-long series of what we're calling the story, I want you to know, first of all, that this book is not a substitute for your own Bible, all right? But I want everybody to get one of these and get the participant guide to go along with it. I want you to understand that this is a paraphrase and a cut down version of the Bible, but it is no way pejorative. It doesn't mean that you can't understand the real Bible, but sometimes, you know, the Bible's a bit daunting. It's hard to get started. This is to help you get started, to see how all the pieces in the Bible fit together. All right? And so that is why we're doing this, but it's not a substitute for your own Bible. Now, we are calling the Bible, or these authors called the Bible the story. They call this paraphrased version of the Bible the story because storytelling, number one, was key to the Jewish faith. And it's how Jesus taught. The Old Testament is full of stories. And you got it? Okay. The Old Testament is full of stories. And what God tells us is God wants us to tell our children the stories over and over. He wants us to repeat those stories. He wants us to know it so well that it gets down deep inside of us. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, teach them, teach the stories to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So one of our hopes in doing this is that you will do that as a family. We want you to read the story as a family. Read the story alone, or read the story with friends. We want you to get this down inside of yourself. The neat thing about this series is that everybody's going through the same thing all year long. The youth are doing the story curriculum. The kids are going to do the story curriculum. You are going to be doing the story curriculum. Everyone on their own level is going to be learning the same thing. Okay? So that's what's really wonderful about this series. Again, God tells stories in the Bible. And again, Jesus used stories to teach the people. He was constantly telling stories. He was telling stories within stories to make points that couldn't be made any other way. Those of you that know Jewish tradition know that this was the rabbinic tradition of the time. The rabbi's way of teaching was to tell stories because stories, right, they have multiple levels of meaning. And you can make points with stories. Better than you can with just linear reasoning sometimes. Also, people remember stories better, don't they? Second, we are calling this series the story because, as I said, the Bible isn't just a series of stories. It's actually one huge story. Many people think of the Bible as a list of rules. You know, who, when you open a carton, reads the directions, the list of rules to assemble. I do not read directions. I find that the most boring thing in the world. A lot of people see the Bible that way. They said, this is a list of rules. Why would I want to sit down and read a list of rules? For me, I would rather mess with the thing for 5 hours and figure out how to put it together than read the directions. You know, and some of us do that in life, right? We might just stumble along instead of reading the Bible, which does have rules in it, but it is not a list of rules. When you know what the Bible is and what it says, it's this magnificent, holistic story where everything fits together. Everything comes together. Now, I've told you before that when you're sitting out there, even those of you in the back pew that's standing up here, I can actually see you. Yeah, I can. And I can tell when you're paying attention to me or when you're not, or when you're sleeping even, or looking at the ceiling, or thinking about maybe what you're going to have for lunch or what you're going to do next, okay? I kind of can tell when I have your attention. When do you think I have your attention the most? When I'm telling a story. That's right. You're looking at me. I have everybody. I don't see any shifting or fidgeting or, you know, even the back row, it feels like, is looking at me. Now, I can't see you that well, so if you do want to hide, that's a good place to go. But, yeah, I have everybody's attention when I'm telling a story. Psychology Today says it this way. It says, and this is our psychology, narrative is built into us. Telling stories, this quote from Psychology Today, is not just the oldest form of entertainment, it's the highest form of consciousness. The need for narrative is embedded deep in our brains. Stories, unlike straight-up information, can change our lives because they directly involve us. They provoke our memory and give us the framework for much of our understanding. They also reflect the way the brain works. While we think of stories as fluff, accessories to information, something extraneous to real work, they, the stories, turn out to be the cornerstone of consciousness. Isn't that interesting? So it would make sense then that the God who created us would use a method of communicating with us that we all love and connect with. One great big story stretching out for centuries and pointing to eternity. In Scripture, God tells us one gigantic story about his love for us and the extent to which he will go to pursue us and give us a relationship with him. This is not a flimsy love story. This ranks with the greatest, in fact, it is absolutely without qualification, the greatest story ever told, and by far, still today, the bestseller of all time. Get to know it. But many Christians don't know it, right? Because, as I said, it's daunting and can be intimidating to read if you don't know how. And in order to know how, you have to understand the history behind it and how all the parts fit together. So that's why, again, as I said, we're going to start at the beginning and go through using this story manual there, the participant's guide and the book, the story. And then for adult education, we're going to have a kind of Bible 101 class. We're calling it Story 101 right after the service. For those of you that want to know the basics and really struggle with reading Scripture, and there's so many people who are in that boat. And if you're in that boat, we're going to be doing that after the service. And if you're in the boat where maybe you've taken some classes on the Bible or you know the Bible really well, we're going to have a class happening at the same time. That's the Story 201. So we have the Bible 101 or Story 101 and then the Story 201. For those of you that want to go deeper and maybe you want to look at some of the Greek words or you want to do some deeper analysis of Scripture. So both of those will be happening after every service this year. And my hope is by the end of the year, all of us will feel more comfortable reading Scripture. And because of this, we will do it more and more easily. As you engage with this study, you will understand all of the components, how it relates on a big picture level historically, which we're going to be calling the upper story. And we'll talk more about this in the weeks ahead. And then also how it intimately and purposely relates to your life, which we're calling the lower story. So both practical and historical big picture we'll be doing. God tells you today, you are a part of my story. I have written you in. You are a part of this plan, of this movement, of this document that I have given to the world. Get to know the story. Study it. Learn it. Repeat it to yourself. It is powerful. And the more you know this story, the more you will see yourself in it and understand who I am and what the purpose of your life is all about. If you look at Ephesians 2:10, there's a wonderful quote. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." And the word workmanship, you know what that word means? It means it's poema, which from which we get the word poem or epic story. The word literally means fabric or something that's crafted together like threads that are woven together. God has woven together history into a story, and you are part of that. All of the events in human history are moving toward a culmination, an ending, a final destination, and we are woven into the fabric of that dynamic moving storyline revealed here. Long before you were even born, God prepared you to be woven into his plan and purpose, and he wants you to recognize this. He had his eye on you as you were being knit together in your mother's womb. And finally, what makes the story so compelling is that who is the central character of this story? Who? You got it. And often that is the right answer when pastors ask a question. But yes, the central character is Jesus Christ, and how cool is that to be part of a story, part of a narrative, part of a moving, dynamic plot where you can interact with Jesus Christ. That's what you find out when you get to know Scripture. So I hope you all have the book and study guide. If you don't, please get it. And I want to challenge all of you to be committed to this process. Inside your bulletin, as I said, there's commitment cards. If you would fill them out, and at the end of the service, we're going to have a chance to bring them up here. We'd like you to come to church every Sunday. We'd like you to go to the adult ed. We'd like you to read the story as assigned weekly, and you can see the weekly assignments on the bookmark that's in there. All right. There's going to be somebody telling you a story in a moment, but I want to share with you one more scripture that relates to his story. It comes from Paul in Philippians 3, where he says the following. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, become the perfect Christian, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." And the word "take hold of" is literally translated here as "seized." It's a powerful word. There was an amazing story about Saul who became Paul. A light came down from heaven, changed his course. Saul was killing Christians. He saw a light. He saw Jesus. He turned around and became one. Instead of killing Christians, he became a Christian. Paul was seized by a great God and put into God's great story. And in this verse that I quoted, he has a greater purpose, right? Than his own agenda now. He has been given God's purpose, God's agenda, to do what God is calling to do. So Paul was saying, as I was seized, so I want to seize Christ. I want to know him with all that I have, and I'm going to do everything I can to know him. So let's be committed to do the same. Let's press on to seize that knowledge of God's story and come with us all, please, each one of you, come with us all on this journey to delve into Scripture. To get to know the story and go deeper in our faith. Well, one of the great things that I love in my job, the highlight, is hearing other people's stories. And so David is here. Do you want to come on up, David? Grab that mic there. David's story is much like Paul's story. And he was seized by God and put in a different place. And you're not who you once were. And I wanted David to share with you. And every Sunday after the sermon, I want to have somebody tell their story. I want you to wake up on Sunday morning and think, I want to go to church. I want to go to church because I know that I'm going to be inspired by a testimony, by a story of somebody who found themselves in the larger plan of God's story. So I'm going to stay up here because you've asked me to stay up here for moral support. And so David's going to share with you. David leads our Crash Zone program with Matt. He's working with Matt. I'm just pleased to welcome you. David, go for it.
Hi, everyone. How you doing? This is my first time sharing my testimony in a large group. So sorry if I stumble a little bit. So I grew up in Baja California, Mexico. I was raised there with my dad and my brother. My mom kind of left us when we were kids. She came occasionally, not as much though. When I was 8 years old, I came back from school, and sure enough, my mom was back. She had been in the United States for a couple of years. And she came and took us away and brought us here to the United States. That's when my journey started with Christ. The first couple of years, it was really fun just because I was in a new place, making new friends, learning a new language. But then once I got to middle school, things began to change. My mom was an alcoholic, drank a lot. I struggled to get her attention. She always favored my brother more than she did me. And I was a broken kid. I was going out, doing bad things, didn't really care about school. I was a troublemaker pretty much. And I remember this guy who worked for City Team back in the day when they used to have youth outreach. I think that's what it's called. But he came to my house one day, knocking on our door, saying if he wanted to sign up for food. And at first, that was kind of weird. I mean, I opened the door and I looked at this guy. He tells me, hey, you want to sign up for food? I was like, no, thank you. So I shut the door on him. And he came back a couple of times, just kept knocking. And I remember he was a really cool guy. He started taking us to breakfast, lunch, and one day he told us if we wanted to go camping. And back in the day, they used to do community camp or camps for the community for kids with the low income kids, and this was at Camp AMAC. And I remember we went for a week, and the last night of camp, it was a Thursday night. One of the pastor made a call, and I remember we were singing this song called "Jesus, You Set My Feet Up on the Rock," and that song was touching me. It was touching my heart. And as they make this call, not knowing what was gonna happen, he said, "If you want a better life, and if you wanna experience Jesus, please come down here and say this prayer." And I stood up and walked down there, not knowing what I was doing. And they started praying for me. And when they were praying for me, I just felt this fire rushing down my body. And everything that was inside me, that emotions that I was holding back towards my family, things that I didn't even know I had, just came out. And I remember like this weight just dropping down, and I broke down. I was in tears just knowing that I was holding all this stuff that was inside of me that was killing me, and it was God just setting me free from all this. And after that, I remember going back to school, and people kept looking at me saying, "You're different, you're different." And I didn't feel different. But then I was sharing the gospel with kids in my school. I was bringing kids to Christ in the middle of the street, and I couldn't understand why I wanted to do it so bad. And I was in class, and when I did something wrong, I just hear this voice that was bad, you should pray about it. And I would just sit in class, pray for like hours, just apologizing and asking for forgiveness. And so it was like that for a couple of years. Freshman years, when everything really changed, my stepdad passed away, and God took a hold of my life there for the good. I was separated from my family, but he had a great plan that I was adopted by this great family of mine now. And in the last 10 years, I've been involved in ministry and sharing the gospel with people. And that's all I want to do, since God took a hold of my life, and I want other people to know that He's great and He can do the same things for them. So, thank you.
We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing "I Love to Tell the Story." And as we sing "I Love to Tell the Story," I'd like you to bring your commitment cards forward so we can all get to know God's story. You put them right here anywhere on the table up here as we sing. Go back to your seat, because then I'll give you the benediction, and then you're free to go. Thank you again, David. Lord God, we're so grateful for David and for his testimony to us this morning. It revives our hearts. Truly, Lord, you're still the life-changing business. You are the great storyteller. You love stories. May we all, as your people, endeavor to know your story for our lives. And may we commit to that purpose this year. Again, thank you for David. Thank you for all that he's doing in the Crash Zone ministry here at West Valley. We just pray that you'd bless him now and continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit as he shares your love with the kids who come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wants to learn the story of divine love for all of us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who writes a story for our lives and who has a plan that is bigger than anything we can ask or think, be with you and bless you now and forever. Amen.